I think a lot of people say that winners never quit, but sometimes winners quit too.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
If you love this podcast, please give us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really means a lot to us. And if you love to make more money by improving your customer or client retention, loyalty, and lifetime value, check out Alex's work at Huckleberry Consulting. He is offering a free one-hour audit to just a lucky few, just for the first 20 listeners who will reach out. It's super easy. Just go over to consulthuckleberry.com and book an appointment at his calendar. And all you need to do is mention this podcast. So this one-hour free audit has a value of $500, and you're going to get it for free if you're one of the first 20 listeners. Just book an appointment at his calendar. Go over to consulthuckleberry.com, and all you need to do is just to mention this podcast. Come to that call with your customer success and client success problem, and feel free to pick his brain. That's all you need to do. So I hope you're one of the first 20. Let's go. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. This is Carla, your host, and this is a special session because it's also going to be updated on my YouTube, uploaded on my YouTube, and I have a very special guest, very special. I know I say very special all the time, but this is very, very, very special because she actually came from my hometown, which is Davao City, Philippines. If you're from Davao, if you're a Bisaya, so comment on the threads down below, comment on the, use the comment box, basically tell us where you're from and tell us where you're listening from. And I'm super sure that you're going to learn a lot, especially if you're curious about changing careers, about being an entrepreneur, about, you know, marketing yourself in what people would say is a small town or has a small town energy. So we're gonna dive deep into that. And if you are specifically from the Philippines, you're gonna enjoy a lot of the cultural nuances, which we will also discuss. But if not, this will give you a window to the Filipino culture and also what it's like to do school, shift careers, and start a content marketing agency from one of the world's biggest outsourcing destinations, which is the Philippines. So my guest today is Farah Garcia. She is a chemical engineer turned full-time freelancer and entrepreneur. After spending years working in a petrochemical plant, hashtag serious, she made the bold decision to shift from chemicals to content marketing. And today she helps founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and B2B brands craft impactful, authentic content that drives results. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome Farah. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Carla, thanks for having me.
I'm super excited. So Farah is one of the people that we coach in our mastermind. And I'm super impressed by the growth she's had, not just from her business, but Even her personal growth, I really admire her as a person. And it's so funny because we've known each other for more than a decade in the blogging world. When I was a blogger, she was also a blogger. We would go to the same events. But I will let Farah actually introduce herself. So, Farah, introduce yourself to the community, to all of our listeners, and what made you say yes to this invitation?
Hey Carla, hey everyone. Everyone who's listening to Carla's podcast. So my name is Farah Garcia and I'm currently building my content business focused on LinkedIn and Twitter ghostwriting to help busy founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs craft impactful content so they don't have to. So I've been working in content for over 10 years now, as Carla mentioned. And I have a degree in chemical engineering, but made the shift. Yeah, Carla mentioned that I made the shift from working at a petrochemical plant to becoming a full-time freelancer and business owner. So yeah, we've known each other for over a decade. Like as she mentioned, we went to the same blogging events. I think that was around the time that I started to think that I could get into content creation because I noticed that like there a lot of the content online wasn't very good. So as a girl, as a DIY girly, like, okay, what can I do to make this better? I think it was like my engineering mindset. So there, that's basically how I started.
Yeah. And I think it's also a way for you to exercise creativity, right? I mean, I'm betting you don't really get to do that in the petrochemical plant.
Definitely like in engineering, I think one of the things that attracted me to it at first was it's very straightforward. Like when you do math, like yeah, sure, you arrive at the same answers, even though they're like different ways to solve a problem, but you always end up at the same answer. Meanwhile, like if you're in content or like in social sciences, there's no one way to solve a problem. So, that's a different skill set.
Right. I love that. I mean, I think as humans, we are all always inspired to be creative. And you found a wonderful opportunity to also monetize your creativity. But I totally get you. I mean, if I wasn't in marketing, actually, my favorite part of marketing is the creative part, like when we think of ideas and things like that. And I have other hobbies that are also creative, like playing the guitar, writing poetry. And to be completely honest with you, if I can get paid doing that, what I'm get paid like in my business, I think I'll just write poetry and play the guitar all day long. I'll be super happy. But like, not everyone will get to have this opportunity, right, Farah? So, how was that decision like for you, deciding from, having a job as a chemical engineer and starting your own content marketing agency? It seems like it's not
Yeah,
the
there's no
path.
connect.
Yeah, it's such a detour, no?
Yeah, so I think like growing up, we were ingrained, like we come from an Asian background, right? So the elders used to keep telling us like to go for a title, like be a lawyer, be a doctor, be an engineer. They always say that, these jobs pay really well. And somehow, like, how do I explain it? But like, they never taught us, like, I think it was only recently, like, millennials are like, go after what you want. Because,
Right.
yeah, the older generations, like, they go to a job, they stay there for a long time. But then, like, after they retire, they don't know what they want to do.
Right.
Meanwhile, our generation, like, we grew up in the age of the internet. So, there were like lots of options spread out to us. And yeah, so how did I get into content? We already covered that. And did I always know that I wanted to get into content? No. The honest answer is like as bad as it sounds, like I think I've always known that I wasn't gonna pursue a career as a chemical engineer. 'Cause When I was younger, like I used to like writing a lot, like read. But the only reason that I did get into like engineering and STEM was because I was a scholar at a special science high school here in the Philippines, and we were required to take up a STEM course in college. So I enjoyed, yeah, my math, chem, and physics subject the most. And I like the idea of, the engineer title. So when it came to like filling up my college applications, I put in chemical engineering as my first choice. So I was like, since I came from a science background and like that's what I grew up with, up until my third year of college, I was enjoying it. But then like around that time, I think I had like a quarter life crisis, because it was around that time that I would see fashion blogs sprouting up. That was around 2010. Yeah, and like I thought I wanted to get into fashion design, but then
Yeah, Lookbook was big. Remember Lookbook?
yeah, and you wanted to like capitalize on that, but then yeah, so wait.
So you were
So
into
yeah,
fashion,
I wanted I suddenly wanted to get into fashion, even though I was at a crossroads, and then I realized that I wasn't happy in my engineering course. Like I was thinking, wait, I'm already in my third year. In 2 more years, I have to like go find get a job. Like, what will I do after? So there, like I think that's where it started for me, like the doubt. There.
Yeah, and I bet that was difficult. It wasn't easy, no. How did you have a difficult conversation with your parents? I mean, in our culture, of course, we're very dependent on like our parents' perception of us, right? Like if someone asks me right now, what is your biggest driver in life? I always say, I want to be the person my parents want me to be. And thankfully, very gratefully, my parents are amazing people. So, I always have that inspiration in me, and it is really my biggest driver in life. So what was it like for you? And also, did you seek advice from your friends? What did they say?
About shifting to content marketing. Yeah, so no one actually influenced me. And like you, my parents were really nice, like supportive. My dad, he said, like, I don't care what you do after college, like as long as I'm done sending you to school, like you're on your own. So
You're released.
yeah, but it took me 8 years actually to finish my chemical engineering degree, because of that, I mentioned that there was a time when I was at a crossroads. So I actually stopped studying for a semester, and that was the time I moved back to Davao. Yeah. When I moved back to Davao, I continued my chemical engineering course, but since I had like to take up some back subjects, so I had a pretty free schedule, that's when I took up blogging. Yeah. So there. During the semester off, I started to build my blog, and I used that as a portfolio to apply to a local clothing store to handle their social media. And I think I just enjoyed my work there. So I think that's really where it all started. But as you mentioned, did anyone influence me? No. I just, yeah, like I just followed my heart, I guess.
Yeah, that's really nice. I mean, it's you could say you were one of the lucky ones, right? So some parents would be more resistant. Like I had a brief moment where I played poker for a living, and my parents were very, very resistant. Obviously, poker is has a gambling, a threat to it. So even though I didn't really gamble, I only joined tournaments. I just like winning a title and winning the money from the title. It's hard for them to understand. And of course, the casino is not really a good environment, obviously. The secondhand smoke, the late nights, and being around strangers like guys. And I was very young. I was a very young girl, so it wasn't ideal for sure. What would you say was the easiest part of this decision to shift careers?
Oh, okay. I actually shifted careers during the pandemic. So, up until maybe, wait, during the pandemic, like we were working from home. And even before that, I was already working from home part-time. So I already had like the, while everyone was struggling, I already had the experience. So I was, cruising while working. Yeah. And then I thought about it and I was like, if I was earning the same amount working 8 to 12 hours a day at home from working 3 or 4 hours a day on my online job, like I could earn more if I went full time. But like one of the things that was stopping me was like other people's opinions. Also, I was thinking that it was the pandemic, so if I quit, would I have another job? And like I guess financial security. So those were like some things that I considered or like held me back.
No, that's normal because of course you are like we are still get trying to really understand adulting for lack of a better term, you know what I mean? Like even if I have like I don't know 15 years of being an adult, like technically it's still we are still just learning as we go, right? And so we always try to make the right decisions. It's a very special time. It was the pandemic. So I'm happy that you were able to kind of really lay out your considerations. And I guess the engineering brain helped you with that, no? So what was the consideration that really surprised you? And because this might be something that other people who are going through a difficult decision in their career that they might consider or that they might prioritize considering.
For me, like, so I laid down the things that I was considering. So again, engineering brain likes having a plan. So for one, like my finances, I saved up since we weren't going out, like no eating out, I was able to save up an emergency fund to tide me over, like in case I would quit my job. So another consideration that scared me was like if I would be able to find a job right away. So, and I didn't like not the thought of like not doing anything while on the, while I didn't have a job. So I made a list of things that I've long wanted to do but couldn't because I had a job. So one of them was actually like learning the stock market, like learning how to read those graphs. Yeah. But spoiler alert, surprisingly, I never got to because I was able to get work right away. So the biggest like consideration that surprised me was literally other people's opinions. Because yeah, because as Asians, right, we make a big deal out of titles and honorifics, like, and then I was scared of what other people would say because like a lot of people say, "Oh, you're an engineer, you're just gonna throw that away." And I also consider the fact that it took me like 8 years to finish my course, and then like it only took me 3 years at my job to realize that, okay, I don't see myself doing this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's a really good point of reflection, though. Like what am I affected by, right? Like what is really the cause of my procrastination maybe in making the decision? A parallel example that I can share here is a divorce, right? So sometimes couples are really unhappy. They are not good for each other. It's not good for their children. They're fighting all the time. But then the woman, it's usually the woman who will think, what will my friends say? You know, like, what will other people say that I have a failed marriage? You know, so just you being able to recognize what you're affected by and then recognizing that that was other people's opinions and then you making yourself, coaching yourself through this decision, no? It's not that easy. It could be something as small as changing your hair color. Like, I really want to dye my my hair pink, but I don't know what will other people say. So that is really a consideration, so that we need to think about. So I like that you pointed that out. So how did you deal with it? Did you have a friend who had like a negative thing to say? What were like some of the negative thoughts that were in your mind at that time?
You know what? I think even though you said that I was able to coach myself, I was also my biggest enemy. Like I was, for example, I think I wanted the pandemic started in March, and I think by April I wanted to quit. Like I was so lonely. I was living alone in Manila. My sisters, some of my friends were saying, just quit your job, just quit your job. And I just kept telling myself, like, no, I'm gonna give myself until December so I can get my 13th month pay, something like that. So, in terms of like negative things I heard from other people, not much really. I think it's just mostly in my head because my sisters were like really the most supportive people. Like, my sister was like, you know what, you should really do the writing thing. Like, I don't know how you can't see it, you know, that you're gonna do well when you get into content.
Oh, that's so
Yeah.
sweet.
They are grabby.
Oh, yeah. So I love that thought. I love that thought of like, I don't know how you would even fail if this is what you really want, right? But I think what attests to that is also historical data, right? Like, even if you weren't fully in love with your engineering career and you realize that you kept going because you wanted to prove to yourself. But it's good that you had these moments of reflection where you were like, why did it even take me 8 years to finish that course? Maybe I don't like
Yeah, I
it.
think like I remember it was my third year, right? The time when I was at a crossroads, I was like thinking back, you know what, the signs were there, third year, diba? But then, you know, in the same vein, like I don't regret my chemical engineering degree because I met some of my best friends there. Yeah, so like all the pieces, I guess, add up in the long term.
That's a good lesson to also think about, no, Farah. Like, sometimes when people change careers, they mostly feel that they have to grieve their old career, and that's okay. But I think in the same line, like what you shared, you also have to appreciate what you've gained, learnings, friends, no, lifelong friends. And I think that's also a really good point of reflection. If anyone is listening and is thinking of changing careers or quitting their 9 to 5 or starting a side hustle, or maybe if you have a successful side hustle, maybe finally starting a business, do not feel sorry or feel that you have to grieve or mourn your past decisions or your past life, because you learned a lot of things from it, and technically it is what made you into the person that you are today. So in this process, Farah, what did you learn about yourself and how you make decisions in life? So did it help you become better at making other decisions?
I've always been someone who's like, if I want something, I'll really work hard for it. So I think that was one thing that I didn't like about being an employee. It's because like if I do work hard, it's all like the feedback is always dependent on someone else. Whereas like if I work for myself, I work hard, I see results. And like yeah, like unlike when you're an employee and there's a lot of factors, politics, and like even though you work hard, like your income is capped. Not like when I hustle hard, like I can bring in the income I want. Yeah, so what else did I learn from this? I think like making things work, like 'cause you only have yourself to rely on, like when you're an entrepreneur or freelancer. If you don't work, you don't bring in money. So over time, like you come up with systems, 'cause you're not a machine. So there are times when you're like, wait, I'm t starting to get tired. So you come up with like systems to make the work easier. So I don't know, like there the importance of Working hard, and then also I think ingenuity in the long run as well, like creativity.
Yeah, I love those, and those are really good virtues. And I think the journey that you had outwardly changing paths, changing career paths, is also an equally important journey is also the inward, right? Like you realize these things about yourself and how you make decisions. And I think what I can add is also like it puts you in a position of if I was able to do that, then everything else is easier, right? It's almost kind of like if I was able to leave chemical engineering, then it's easy for me to leave things that are not serving me. Did you have any similar like realizations lately?
So, for example, I think a lot of people say that winners never quit, but sometimes winners quit too. Like if you see something that isn't working,
Yeah, of
like
course.
you're afraid. I think like some of the biggest winners, they failed a lot of times, and I know you're one of them. Like I attended your TED Talk, and you mentioned that you had a lot of failed businesses, but look, right? You found something that stuck. I think it's also like, I saw this post online that, successful singers, like for example, Taylor Swift, she has a big repertoire of songs, but like only a few are successful.
Right,
But then
right.
those successful songs like carried her.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a nice lesson, like just keep failing.
Right. Yeah, no, I like that. And like you said, it's like you are not really like you don't need to be ashamed of like your past or you just celebrate it for your learning. And it's also like if you wanted to really honor this decision that you have right now, then you have to give it your all the time. So for example, diba, right now you have this content agency. Who knows? Tomorrow you might want to be a baker, right? So who knows? We don't know the future. So I think the other lesson is also like being open about the future, being open about what makes you happy, checking in with yourself. And it's like the happier you are and the more content you are with your life, then the better person you will also be for other people. So let's talk about the business part of it all. So I know you've been a blogger for a long time. As bloggers, we don't really technically get paid. We get paid in like free samples, free trips, free food, and it's just fun. It's a hobby, right? Unless you monetize your blog. But I think at the rate that you and I were writing, we weren't really doing it for the money. It was just for fun and for meeting friends, really. It was a fun thing to do after work, basically. So, what is your advice for people who are about to start their business or making a career shift in such a way that they're approaching a side hustle or a full-on business? What have you learned?
First, if you have a day job and you want to like shift to a different career, like pursue freelancing, don't quit your day job without like savings or an emergency fund. And like don't quit your job unless you have a client. Because I don't know, I read a lot of posts online about wannabe freelancers or aspiring freelancers. I think they get so enamored by the idea of like working from anywhere, earning six digits, that like they just up and quit their job. So I'm all for like quitting your job, obviously, but like quit responsibly. Yeah,
Yeah.
so that's definitely one thing. Like if you want to shift careers, you should have a safety net. And then second is, for example, you have the career you want to shift into is super different like mine. Learn the skills, like and not just like technical skills that, for example, I'm an engineer and I want to get into accounting. Besides learning accounting, I also advocate for people to learn soft skills like networking,
That's a good
and
advice. Yeah.
like being generally helpful.
Yeah. Small talk. Yeah. Which is nice because when we were bloggers, it's like you always get You always meet new people, right? Like other bloggers, newer bloggers, older bloggers, the business owners. So it was good training. I like your point about the soft skills, really, because those skills serve you wherever you end up. No. So even if you end up as like a professional poker player, content writer, engineer, you have to deal with people, you have to deal with politics. I really like that advice because that is one of those skills that really compound, like it's like a compound interest. The more you do it, the more you get better at it. Like even just you and I being on this podcast, we're communicating in a particular way. We are considering our listeners when we talk. So this is like training for us too. It's almost like a mini public speaking training.
That's why I wanted to join your podcast because I'm trying to challenge myself. Like, I know I'm a good writer because, I can think about what I say beforehand, but like public speaking is not my forte. And like being with you on the podcast, you're someone I know and someone I'm comfortable with makes it a bit easier.
Yes, yeah. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And for me, I always tell my podcast guests that I will take care of you. I will not let you embarrass yourself. We will edit. If you said something wrong, we will edit it. And even if you cry, we will pause it, like whatever, right? And I always make sure to ask questions that really make you shine. So that is also what I'm learning as I'm going through this process of being a podcast host. But when you were young, when you were, I wanted to ask this, when you were young, what was your dream? And surprisingly, was it close to what you're doing right now?
You know what? The first like job or dream that I had was actually to be a teacher. And I
Aww.
think, yeah, and in a way, I think I'm doing that now, through content. Like when I write articles, like, you know what? I try to be the best, or I try to put myself in the reader's shoes. Like, for example, is this if I see something like, okay, I don't think they answered this question, so I'll try to find the answers for the people who will read my article. So I think that's what, in my own way, I think that's a way of teaching. And then right now also, I'm starting to overcome my shyness. So I'm trying to make educational content about content marketing on Twitter. I on Twitter, on TikTok, because surprisingly, like, people ask me about it. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take this chance to help them.
Yeah, educate. Yeah.
Yeah, educate.
No, I love that because actually in our industry, which is marketing, outsourcing, consult being a good consultant really makes a difference in sales because that's when you show them your expertise. And the mindset that you need to embody when you're a consultant is actually like a teacher, like a scholar. So you're explaining to your client what you should be doing, giving them strategy, but you should teach it in a way, you should say it or share it in a way that you're like teaching, and your approach should be scientific and understandable and distilled into its simplest form. So that's what teachers do, right? Teaching is a transfer of skill or knowledge. And even though, as a teacher, like if you are a science teacher and you're teaching a grade one student, you really have to simplify it. You have to find those windows to really be able to educate in the best way. And it's funny how like your life journey really just drives you to where you're supposed to go. And we're super grateful for that. So, right now, what makes you most excited about the path that you're on? Who are the people you serve? How do you serve them? How do you help them win? What are you most excited about?
I'm excited to see my clients win, obviously. Like, that's what we're here for. We want to help them. I'm excited for like better content. It's so easy to create content now, but a lot of the content is trash. So I want to be able to contribute to that. Like, it's so everyone, like, there's a lot of misinformation, so I don't want to be part of that. I want to like increase like content standards. So literally, like, I just really want to help people be more informed. Yeah, so I guess like I just realized now that wow, that might be my life's purpose, you know.
Oh, maybe you'll
Yeah.
become a war journalist someday or something. Not naman. You'll be the one, you'll be the one leading the bar classes for the for the military.
Hello, Jesse.
Yeah, I know. So Farah's business right now, she has a content marketing agency and she focuses on LinkedIn and Twitter posts and Twitter ghostwriting for founders. And so founders, I am a founder, I'm a business owner. Why did you choose to serve business owners and founders?
So, for one, your market is, well, you guys are busy.
Yes.
So, and like not everyone knows how to, you know, do content or market themselves. Like some people, like technical founders, they know like very, you know, like the terms that they use are jargon and they can't explain it to their audiences in a simple way. So there.
So, yeah, aside from that, what else do you like most about this career, about the people you serve, about these founders that you work with?
So the reason that I got into like I decided on the people that I want to serve was first my experience. So previously I worked in the B2B SaaS, so I'm very familiar with what they do, the terms. So second, like as a budding entrepreneur myself, I feel like I have a similar mindset as they do, and you know, I feel like I can capture what they're thinking. And then third, obviously, as an entrepreneur, like I saw a problem and I'm offering a solution. So I noticed that a lot of B2B SaaS or tech founders struggle to find the right words to express their vision and expertise, or they use a lot of I guess super technical terms that not everyone can understand, which I can translate. And or, you know, some of them just don't have the time to do it, like they're busy. So fourth, I'm trying to be like Miss Universe here, and those founders, like they have like a bigger impact. Like they're not just looking for likes or comments, they're literally building something meaningful. And lastly, like selfishly, it makes more sense financially. Like many founders use a personal brand to make more money, to secure more funding. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know, I really see that, and it really makes a difference when the founder makes an effort to provide content to tell their story, because storytelling is one of the most powerful ways to get people to like you and to get people to believe in what you believe. Like, think about politics, right? And like, what are they really trying to sell you? They're trying to sell you a mindset and a way of thinking, and they're telling you, I can be your leader if you think like this. So yeah, that makes sense. So career shifts are topic today. It can happen as early or as late in life. It could happen as early as when you're shifting courses in school, when you decide that you don't want to be a nurse anymore, you want to be an architect or something like that. Or it can happen as late as possible. Someone like the founder of KFC, who started his business in his, I think, 60s, mid 60s. So there's a really wide range, and there's so many opportunities to have this happen in your life. What are your three tips to people who might be at the crossroads of a career shift?
Okay, so at the top of my head, number one, I guess listen to your gut, because or intuition. Like if something feels off, like it's worth exploring why. So I feel like not a lot of people, you know, like I'm a logical person, right? But there are some things that like you can't explain. And sometimes, like your intuition, I've heard of stories where people's intuitions have saved them. So I think it's the same in this case. So, what else? Number two, So always, always, always have an emergency fund, have a safety net.
Right,
Like,
have a safety net. Yeah.
yeah, don't quit your job right away. Like, start small. I think, yeah, start small. That's a way to like test the waters.
Yeah.
To see if it's something you want to do in the long term. So for me, that was taking up a freelance job on the side while I was at my old Petrochem job. Oh, and what else? Number three, find a support system. Like, talk it out with someone. Because, you know, like when you're processing things in your head, sometimes you don't realize that the thoughts are pretty silly until you say them out or you tell it to someone. So, yeah, find someone to talk to, like a trusted mentor, family there.
Friends, yeah, people who have your best interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You will find these people. The older you get, the more you realize that sadly this number will be dwindling, but it is
Yeah.
much, much high quality people. And these are really the only people that you need in your life. And I want to add as well to your tip of having a safety net. I think that having a safety net doesn't mean that you don't believe in yourself. So please do not think that having a safety net is like preparing yourself to fail. It is literally giving yourself insurance. You know, like buying insurance, we don't want to die. We don't expect to die, but we buy insurance in case, right? And we do our best to not die. So it doesn't mean that you're not going to do your best or that it lessens your belief in yourself. So I really like those tips. So number one, listen to your gut or be in line with your intuition. And I think some activities would be meditation,
Journaling.
journaling. Yeah, so I love journaling because you're really, really processing thoughts and you have no outside influences. Second tip is create a safety net. I really like that. It's very practical and it doesn't mean that you believe less in yourself. And number three, have a support system. It doesn't matter how small it is. It could just literally be your parents and your siblings, but you have to have people around you who have your best interest. This is a big decision, just like a divorce, just like even like changing your gender. Yeah.
Moving to a different country.
Moving to a different country. That's so true. That's so true. Because when I moved to Mexico, I only had two friends. It was definitely sad. At certain times, and it affected my mindset. And all of these three tips that you shared, Farah, are actually ways to not be burdened with your decision, honestly. So I really love these three tips. So guys, if you feel like you have a friend who could use this episode, really learn from it, please share it with them. It might actually comfort them. It will save them from being alone, from feeling alone when they're at a crossroads of their lives. So, let's talk about resources. What are the resources that help you make these decisions in your life, Farah? Maybe like a blog, a YouTube channel, or even just things that you did for yourself that you were surprisingly that were surprisingly beneficial for you.
For me, like, I don't think I read up on, changing careers. So I think what really helped me the most was like journaling and meditation, because I was alone during the pandemic. So I had to process all my thoughts through like journaling and meditation. And also, yeah, talking to my sisters, talking to friends, trusted friends, getting their opinions. I don't know, it's just really funny that so many people have the same opinion of you, like, no, you can do it. Why don't you believe you can do it? So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, sometimes the best resources are within us. Our own wisdom is super underrated sometimes. And like I'm a big fan, you know this, I'm a big fan of meditation and journaling because we have so much data like in us, processed and unprocessed data. So we just need to tap into that and use that to make better decisions. So Farah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for gracing this podcast. This was such a good conversation. Even I learned a lot. Like it helped me really distill the most important parts of a difficult decision-making process. And speaking of decision-making, if you are a regular listener or maybe even not, also check out my other podcast episode, How to Make Decisions. I also gave there some strategies and advice and tactical ways that I make decisions or and solve problems. So you can also check that out. So Farah, I'm sure that a lot of people want to work with you and they want to see where you hang out. If you guys have a small or medium sized business, you want to improve your content game, or if you are a startup founder, B2B founder, and if you feel like a strong personal brand, especially on LinkedIn and Twitter, will really benefit your brand. I have referred Farah to a lot of my clients and friends, and only all of them are super happy. So, Farah, tell us where you hang out and where can they find you if they want to work with you.
So you can find me on LinkedIn, Farah Garcia. You might see Carla as a mutual connection if
Yes.
you're, if you're a friend or if you're connected with Carla on LinkedIn. And I'm also building out my website, so I'll just give it to Carla soon, and she can add it to the show notes.
I will. I'll also link her LinkedIn on the show notes so you guys can follow her, see what she's up to. And as of this recording, it is the end of September. And so usually brands get busy during the fourth quarter of the year. So I really recommend that you hit up Farah right now and really think about working with her, at least hear out what she has to offer and really get things going and get ahead of your competition. So thank you, Farah, for gracing this podcast with your presence. I really loved our conversation. And any last words for our listeners?
None for our listeners.
Yourself?
Oh wait. Got them. No, thank you, Carla, for having me, and I hope you listeners learned a thing or two from this podcast episode. There,
Yeah.
thank
All right. So thank you so
you.
much, Farah. I feel like someone tickled you. And thank you so much to all of our listeners. If you think that this helps at least one person in your life, please share it with them. It will really make their day. It will help a lot of people make better decisions, especially at a very, very difficult part of their life where they are trying to shift their careers, start a business, start a side hustle, quit their job. This is a really important conversation to have with yourself first. So before you get to other people, show them this episode and make them listen to it. So thank you so much, guys, and thank you so much, Farah. See you again next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye.
Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.